Good morning. Thank you for joining me in this session. My name is Jerome Jacob. I'm from Malaysia. Well, my grandparents are from India, so that's why I look like Indian. All right, so, but I'm Malaysian first, then Indian. So I speak Malay language, Indonesian, and a couple of others. Today you are here to hear about building a team. So, sorry again, how many of you are heading a ministry? Did I say the word correctly right now? Okay, wow, so many of you. I am not an expert, but I hope that whatever I share today, God will bless your heart, and it will be useful for you in whatever that you are doing today. So before we start, let's invite God and invite His presence and allow Him to talk to us and use this time for His expansion of the kingdom. Dear God, I thank You for this time. I thank You for developing us, O God, for making us to who You want us to be. God, I thank You for this day. I pray that all of us together will learn something out of this time that we get. Lord, I thank You, and I pray for each one of us that You will give us focus, and we pray, O God, that we will be able to implement or even use this in our ministry, in our daily life, discipling someone, building someone, developing someone through Your word, through the act of love. Lord, I thank You, and we just commit this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so as I mentioned earlier, we're going to do an uncomfortable exercise, okay? So that's coming up very soon. This is our Dayton IFI team, right? Not team, basically, this is our Friday nights. This was taken a week before Christmas. So we had about maybe close to 50, 60 students joining us for our White Elephant gift exchange. We had a great time. This is where we meet, in a basement. So IFI Dayton started 2012 fall. That's my wife sitting down there. She and Larissa is the main person that started IFI in Dayton 2012 at Wright State University. So we are running now in our fifth year, and God has tremendously blessed us and has given us the patience, whatever not, right? Wisdom, knowledge, all that we need. And we are still learning. We're still learning, and He has brought great people alongside us to help us out. And great people come, great people go. So it's something that we have to learn to let go. As we receive, we have to let go. So as we receive, we want to develop them to see that, you know, IFI is not a place where we keep them, but to release them so that they can go start something for the expansion of the kingdom. All right? I play Catan a lot, so I like expansion. Okay. So in Psalms 127, verse 1, it says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." As much as we need a team, our first goal is to have God in what you're doing. Or else you'll be laboring in vain. You'll be just using your own strength. It's not going to go anywhere. It's just going to be another corporate, you know. I was from a corporate background for 9 years. I used to work for Cisco, Cisco Systems back in Malaysia. Wonderful company. I learned a lot from them. So I hope that whatever I share today, you know, whatever I've learned, I want to share with you. All right. Some of you might be wondering, what is this about? And some of you might have gotten the idea. Okay, so basically, it's a very small simulation, all right, of how it will look like in a real world. You are going to start a ministry. You're going to, God has put in your heart to start something in your city or in your town, at a school. And the first thing what you do is, of course, maybe if you feel like I can do all by myself, and you do from the school work, setting up at school, and then setting up externally, everything you do it by yourself. By the time you start your first Bible study, you don't want to teach them Bible anymore. All right, so you get burned out. You get burned out. Because the Bible also says that, you know, you need someone to work alongside. How can a head say to a feet, I don't need you, right? And Moses, I'm going to read a couple of verses, and I'm going to point out a couple of questions, all right? So verse from Exodus chapter 18, verse 25, Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And in 1 Corinthians 12:20, it says, as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the hand to the feet, I have no need of you. All right? So my question is, I'm going to question the leaders. You can just randomly answer me. How did you feel? What was your feeling when you went around asking people, would you like to join me? Would you, maybe you shared what I'm trying to do, and then you went to some person, and some said easily, yes. Some said no, on your face, like no. And some said, let me pray about it, and okay, I want to know your feeling. I want to know what went through in your mind, your head. So anybody, any leader? Okay, go ahead. Very true. Very true feeling. So please be genuine. Like, he was very genuine. Don't be Christian here, okay? All right, so please be genuine. Open yourself and just share what went through your head. Go ahead.
Well, I think because we had time pressure, I found myself, like, when I found somebody who said they wanted to pray with it, I just wanted to stop the conversation immediately and move on to somebody else. I wouldn't want to be in a relationship normally.
Yeah. You should have asked them, do you want to fast too? Go ahead.
I felt a little personally rejected because I didn't run into any yeses. And at the moment, I'm thinking, I'm friendly. I don't have to trouble with this. And,
sure.
Well, yeah, I had to beg for him to come. So I felt that
person. I can understand that. Go ahead, Timothy. Okay. Yes. A true feeling. I see that that group is the biggest group. You managed to get all the yeses. Go ahead.
For me, I looked at it and I thought it very interesting and encouraging because I think I got four yeses.
Wow.
And then I got one who said, oh, well, I'm going to pray about it. Said, yeah, just pray about it, but just remember, this is a great group to work with.
Take down all this point for you. Thank you. That's a good one.
So I got a yes right away, so that was encouraging.
Mm.
And my second no, but was which was a no, at least he didn't say no right away.
Mm.
I mean, he thought about it. And then my next no, when they have to pray about it, but then listen to everybody, like, well, why didn't I ask him, like, let's pray right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anybody else?
Yeah, if I get the first two, you know, as a friend, you know, I can't go without anybody, surely. So, I said, okay, this one says no, this one says, you pray about it, go to the next person.
Yeah.
Come back to the other person.
So yeah. So, I totally understand about the time crunch. You only had 5 minutes, but in real life, you may have longer time. It's a constant process of getting people into what you are working. What I wanted to share was, this is all real story, real feeling you will have out there. I can share that because Gloria and I, we do that in Dayton. We make appointments with people and we talk to them for 2 to 3 hours. And then they'll say, okay, I'll pray about it. And I was like, it is like I just spent 2 to 3 hours trying to convince, you know, what God is doing, not what I'm doing, what God is doing in this town, in this place. You know, he's bringing in people from a different part of the world that you may not be able to go there. And I just shared the whole thing, you know, what amazing work that you can be part of with God. And they say, like, I still need to pray. No, God says go. So, but it's not our job to push people, right? I'm not a fan of pushing people into giving a yes answer. So when someone says no, that's maybe God is working in our hearts, in your heart. It's like, are you going to trust me or are you going to trust men? You know, when you support race, you know, monetary rate of support, you know, when someone says, oh, I can't support you, are you going to be angry at that person? Or are you going to go back to God and say, God, I trust you? So I had to learn that. I had to learn that because I worked for close to 10 years. And every end of the month, I have my paycheck ready. And I don't even have to see my paycheck. I know what it is. But here, it's different. It's different. God had to teach me to trust him. To trust him. And it was amazing once you come out of that. When the wall was broken down, it was amazing. I don't have to fear anymore. I don't have to worry anymore. All I need to do is continue to trust God, and just live by faith. You know, we have learned. I mean, we have always heard of that statement: live by faith, live by faith. Only when you live that situation or in that time, then that verse comes so naturally, so clearly, right? So you're studying a ministry, and so what could be the strategies of building a team? This is number 2. Sorry. Okay. Anybody? Oh. If you're ready, whenever you're ready. Go ahead, Timothy. Okay.
So we said that the first thing is that you need to have a clear goal or vision or purpose that you can sell to people and that you can get people to come on board with. And so you need to get people to unite around your common purpose and your end goal. So that needs to be really clear.
So goal, what's your purpose of your ministry? What you're going to do? Vision is so important. Sometimes no vision, you blind lead the blind, right? So that's good. Thank you.
There are really 2 steps. Number 1, the group of people need to become a team, and then once you become a team, then how do you get the word out to get people to join? Coffee and pie was suggested for becoming a team. And fellowship, making the prayer team is the first priority of core values. Ask people what roles they want besides delegating them, you know, inviting them in. Sharing responsibility of the success. And then getting the news out either from a pulpit. And I was thinking also that, you know, each person in the team should bring 1 person next time. Mm-hmm. So to bring their own circle of friends involved.
Yeah. Great. I like that you brought out about prayer. That reminded me, I wanted to share. So as much prayer has to be one of the strategy, but I choose to believe that prayer has to be a lifestyle. Oh, yeah. You know, so without prayer, it's not going to go anywhere. You'll be just running on your own fuel. So lifestyle, prayer. But thank you, though. That's a good one. Anybody else?
But you had mentioned identifying needs too, like what your goal is and then your needs, so then you can either ask people to join you.
Yes.
So they know specifically.
Exactly. Yeah. So you have a ministry, but you have to know what does a ministry need at that point of time? It changes over season. All right, at this time, you may need A, but in a year down the road, it could A plus B. It could be something else. So God is developing you, and then at the same time, he wants you to go out and bring another set of people, and so that he can continue to improve, continue to develop you, continue to develop what he's doing in that place. Do I have someone from the team? Oh, sure.
All right. I think a few that we had stood out. We talked about inviting diversity. So who are the people you're trying to reach, and how can you also get those specific people to be part of the team, and also being able to really give them a listening ear and give them, show that they're appreciated and that you value their input, because by doing that, you can be able to really understand the people that you're trying to reach.
Diversity. That's a good point. I have to make a confession. I'm not good at diversity. But God has to work, had to work in my life to work with so many different groups of people. Culture different, age gap, but in God's kingdom, he doesn't see in that way. He sees everything as similar, and you're just bringing forth the kingdom of God. So I know there can be a possibility of, you know, constraint in that certain areas, but we have to continue to trust God. It may take months, years, but it is in God's timing that he will mold you to be who he wants you to be. All right, so I'm good with this, so I'm going to move on to the third question. If anybody has, can someone read that question out?
Okay, so the question is, you are a leader of a ministry, and you have a group of strong leaders that work alongside with you. What are ways you could use to build and strengthen your team? And a few of the ideas that we had were... Just seeking not to stifle giftings and leadership, but to delegate freely, to provide an atmosphere of real care and support for one another, even building memories together and shared stories together, discern specific targets as a team, provide some accountability that as people are walking in their responsibilities that they're actually fulfilling them, which actually values their role, and then regular times of prayer.
Thank you. That's a good point. I just want to elaborate on that. As much as you want to find certain people, or you have that gift, amazing, you can be in my team. Jesus did not do that. He went to the fishermen. They didn't know how to share the gospel. They didn't know, maybe, I don't know, you know, I don't know, how would you see a fisherman? They know about nets. They know about where to catch the fish, what time you have to go out. But Jesus still took them in and said, come, I will make you into someone that you are not. Fishes of men. Anybody else?
I think a lot of the things that you would use building a team, I think still are ideas that you need to continue to cultivate once you are a team. Like the prayer and the giftings and encouraging others to join you. But the couple things that were other things that we thought of, identifying weaknesses that you might have, because the things that nobody wants to do, or they're not as, you know, as popular tasks that tend to get shoved to the back, that later on will surface and give you a problem. And so just to be sure, you know, just to try to make sure that you keep your goals illuminated. And then the idea too of maintaining a balance, like in your ministry, so not to let the ministry get so big that perhaps then you're neglecting, you know, your responsibilities as a spouse or a parent, or, you know, whatever those things might be in your other life. You know, it's ideally they're meshing really well, but there's a tendency just in human nature just to get all fired up and do one thing at the expense of another.
Thank you. Anyone else? One last one before I continue. Sure.
So thinking about group members having particular abilities as leaders, the idea was suggested that that individuals have be given freedom to use that gifting for the benefit of the group and the people that they serve. And then the question was asked, well, what if a person identifies an area that they think they're strong in, but they aren't really very capable in that area? Yeah. So for example, if the individual would say, well, I'm capable of, as a teacher, but then when they're given opportunity, not really to be a very good teacher. So then the only response that we came up with was that may be beneficial for the group itself to begin to be gracious with the group members and use that as a learning experience to grow.
Great. Okay, I'm going to run through some points here, and then I'm going to pass this time to Gloria and Larissa. They're going to share how to do ministry with millennials, right? Maybe some of you are working with millennials. Some of you may not be working with millennials, but this would be a good opportunity. Maybe God is going to bring millennials into your group to work with. It's not going to be easy, but they're going to make it easy for you guys. All right. So in this is what happened 4 years ago, 5 years ago in Dayton. We felt like God was leading us to get a group of people. Don't just you and maybe two people just doing all the things. God was bringing people, and we did not see it. We did not see them. And then eventually God like, hey, look around you. I brought the people. Why don't you use them? First thing, what we learned, it was identifying needs. You mentioned that. And strength of people. You know, as they come to your ministry or, you know, you talk to them, you identify. You identify them, and it's like, oh, great. Hey, would you be part of what we do? It can be yes, maybe, I'll pray about it, all right? So that is something that you have to work on, right? So firstly, identify needs and strength. And then secondly is once you have that group of people that you have already identified, you've got them together, what you got to do is empower them. Don't just, now you're a team, great, stay there, you know, and I'll still do what I'm supposed to do. But you got to empower them, disciple them, build them. All right. Always have that in mind that one day God is going to take them away to another place so that he can use them. So that is always important. Thirdly is build a sense of belonging when they are in a group. Don't just give them work. Okay, this is your job. Get it done. You're not running AT&T or Time Warner. All right. So get them feel belong. And fourthly, maximize the influence. That means when you make them feel belong, they're going to talk about it to other people, and you're going to grow the team. And God is always going to pour more, all right? But he's waiting, like, are you ready? Are you ready to receive more? Not yet. Yes, you are ready. I'm going to pour because you are just maximizing people. Jesus started with 12. Today we have millions, billions of people. So I'm not going to run through everything. So when you identify a needs, a strength, just deep dive into things and then to see what the areas of needs are, you know, and then find and continue to check within yourself and also in the ministry how, you know, you can work around with the people. So don't feel, see, that's one thing that I want to reiterate. Volunteers are not obliged to say yes, all right, to your invitation. God may use the situation to teach you to trust him even more, all right? Empowering. Have regular meetings with them. Check with them. How are you doing? Not just like how the thing that I gave you last week. Is it done? No. All right? It's again, it's not corporate. Listen carefully. Listen to them. Don't be like, okay, so this is what I'm going to tell you. This is what you're going to do. All right? It's not command and conquer. Regular meetings will help them to feel belong and encourage. Use the meeting time to encourage, to thank them. And then encourage everyone to share God's story. This is what we do, Gloria and I, Larissa, when we meet people, when we meet our volunteer group, our strong leader team, the first thing that we ask is, do you have any God story to share this time so that you can encourage each one of us? Maybe someone prayed with you, or you prayed with someone, an international student, when you gave them a ride back home. I had that chance many times. God opened that door. This guy, he's a laser mouth. We call him a laser mouth because he has no filter. All right. So once there was this girl was trying to offer him some food, and he said, "Why don't you eat?" And then she says, "Like, no, I'm on diet." And he says, "You don't look like one."
Oh no.
So you know, you have to handle people like that. And then he, like, after several years, we were in a car. I was sending him back home, and then I asked him, "Can I pray for you?" And then he said, "Yes." Then I started praying for him, and he starts crying. It's like, people like you can cry. You know, so God can do amazing things. So can I see it? So when you maximize an influencer, every person is going to be an influencer. All right, that's nature within us. So how is that we bring that out? All right. So empowerment and sense of belonging will allow your city impact team or your group, all right, to maximize influence. So that means sharing with others, "Hey, this team, do you want to be part?" And then he'll come to you, "Hey, I have another person who wants to be part of the team, who wants to help out in some area." All right, you can start with that. You know, there's no way I'm saying, "No, I don't want that person." All right, I'm sure there will be a need at that point of time. All right, so these are all the few action. I will send this. This is available. I will send this PowerPoint so you can take notes, or you know, I can send this to you. So what we do is in Dayton, these are all the things that we do, like make a formal meeting. We have a meeting every month, once in a month. We have two sets of group, one from Cedarville and one from our own in Dayton itself, in where we have our Bible study. So the Cedarville student, we meet them once a month, and we encourage them, we tell them what God's doing. And then this is one of our outline that we use in our meeting. So there are tasks, what are the things that we are doing in our weekly Friday meeting. Our Friday nights are usually filled with a lot of people, like 60 to 70 people. The most we had was 110 in a small basement, smaller than this. All right, so there's a lot of need. There's a lot of work to do. So we use this, and then we bring out the opportunity for people to be part of the work, right? And then we also want to do something outside of what you regularly do, like do a team building with them. This is something that we have not done yet, but we are always hoping to do it. And find a day to do worship and pray together. We do this. We do this. We invite people, "Hey, come to worship with us. Pray with us." And then retreat. We do this once a year. We go somewhere. It's okay. Even if it's a day, it's still fine. Just being together makes a lot of difference. Right. With that, I'm just going to close this time. I know I'm rushing because I'm going to give them very short time to run through what you have. I'm sorry. So most people can have fear. Right, all of us, I would say all of us. Even I had fear, and I still have fear, but each time I have to keep telling God, take away that spirit of timidity. The fear of delegating job, but when it comes to a circle of ministry, you have to trust God in trusting people, and it's all about trusting. So fear is the enemy, but trusting God is the solution. All right, and with that, I will pass this time to Gloria and Larissa. Yeah, quick question before they take up.
So Jerome, you said the PowerPoint would be available to us?
Yes, all I need is your email address maybe, then I can forward that to you or share it through Google Drive, and you can pick it up from there.
It's also available on the startup kit.
Yeah.
Under the
so IFI title. Is doing a startup kit. So this is one of the part that we developed, like how to build a team. If you are starting fresh, like what I said earlier on, if God has impressed on you to start a ministry, so how do you start it? How do you build a ministry team? All right. So maybe I'll take down your email address later on. Okay.
Are we done with the teams? Can we move back to our?
Yes, you can. Yeah. Go back to your comfort zone.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Thank you for inviting me to join your team. For praying and
So we just wanted to share really quick a few key points. If you have a lot of millennials working in your team, that's a big part of our leadership team. And maybe that's the largest percentage in your churches now. So we really think it's important to include them and to work with them. And you can go a lot further if you have them as part of your team. So here are a few keys in working with millennials and have them to be part of your team. And the first one is to get to know them and invest in them. Their interest, their passion, invite them over for meals, not just coffee. Honestly, they really want to spend time with you. And board games, DIY projects, fitness, they love working out. If you want to work out and get your 10,000 steps in, you know, they'll be a great one to do it with. And a lot of it happens during unstructured time. So don't feel like you need to plan anything big and structured. Larissa took a picture of that, and I'm pretty sure of us talking, and that has happened multiple times after midnight. And these are just some leaders that showed up and they needed to talk, and you know, after midnight, it's always a good time to come talk. So, yeah. So a lot of our stuff happens unstructured, but we have had good leaders come out of it. In fact, one of the girls in there, she now works for the international office at the university we serve with. And then because of that, so she was serving on our leadership team, and then the university hired her. And then now we have great inroads with the university because of that. So you see how the Lord has taken it so far, but a lot of it started with building into her life, building friendships, and for her to see that, you know, we really love you for who you are, whether or not you serve with us. And God's taken it so far. And then here is to be transparent and authentic in modeling a Christ-like lifestyle. In 1 Timothy 4:16, it says to watch your life closely. 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow me as I follow Christ. And Larissa came up with this. A lot of millennials they have a high BS meter. So don't try to fake it, because they know when you're faking it in trying to follow Jesus. You know, just live it as it is, and they will want to follow him as they see you do it authentically. And be willing to share your story with them, including your fears, your doubts, your questions, and then engage them with their fears, their doubts, their questions. And model what it's like to follow Christ in the highs and lows of your life. And not just when, you know, everyone's in La La Land and on Sunday and everybody's so happy and, you know, you're in the bless you Jesus mode. They want to see what it means to follow Jesus when you're in the trenches of life and when things are difficult. And when you do that, millennials will be sold out for Jesus, and they will take the vision and the dream that you have so much further, and they'll be willing to die for your vision and to see it go. So I would say if you do that, these are some things that we have learned in following them.
I would just add to that, I had some different, I guess, discipleship, mentorship relationships. And I think speaking to that as a millennial, as someone that's kind of grown up in this ministry, per se, I've learned more about ministry and how to do life just by watching, just by being around Gloria and Jerome, by seeing how they handle different situations. And I think that is like a value that of like including people in your life in just different ways and strong community where you see that, just the value of that intense discipleship come out. So another one. Oh, this is yours, really. She likes stories. Gloria is a story person. She can tell you stories upon stories upon stories. The number of nights I've spent until 3 years later with this lady, it's good, though. It's great. It's great. I learn a lot from them. But instead of, I think this, for millennials, it's just a very relatable thing. Instead of, it comes across as authentic to hear someone's story, and it's relatable. Instead of just sharing your opinions or directives and coming, I guess, it feels like coming down, I guess, on millennials. So being open and vulnerable to share your life's journey with them, and that just comes with sharing life, too. A lot of it just comes with sharing life together. And after that relationship is built, being open and trusting the prompting of the Holy Spirit when those moments come to speak truth and love, if they're there are situations or conflict that arises, they're more than willing to listen and accept correction when it's necessary.
And here's the one that was covered a lot in the first one, to cast the vision, to delegate different tasks, to let them run with it, utilizing their gifts and talents and guide them along the way. And with millennials, there needs to be a lot of guidance. And then sometimes some ideas they throw may not quite fly. And you can be upfront and say, no, maybe not. Maybe we need to bring this down to earth a little bit. But they'll be willing to do it. And then allow them to learn and grow and make mistakes along the way. And invite them to engage with internationals with you. So our team, our leadership team, we had about the first year, no, when Jerome joined us, and he was able to see these people actually coming. And so we had about 16 maybe of young working adults that came and decided, we love what you do, and we want to be a part of this. We want to reach internationals with you. And they're free. And, you know, during the week after work, a lot of them were nurses. They worked odd hours. But that's great because they'll do night shifts and they will come and hang out with internationals. They want to learn. They had all the time. They didn't have kids. They didn't have a lot of commitments. So it was great just building our team among this group of people. And every time we've had from we've had churches and older people come ask us, how do you work with this group of people? Like, we can't seem to work with them, you know. And that's been... we didn't realize how unique it was and what God has really given us. And we have really seen is just inviting them and modeling it for them and to encourage, but also challenge them. So put the bar high and they'll rise up to it.
So the other thing is creating community. I don't know what I did. That's problematic. Okay. If I can get to it here. So millennials want to feel engaged, connected, like they're a part of something big. We all have that, I think, desire in us, but especially with millennials, this picture for me captures that moment in our ministry where we are really a family. Like this was our family. This is our church. This is our community. These are a lot of those leaders that she talked about that year when Jerome came, and we really had a strong core millennial team. This was Indian Republic Day. We all went, and we were the ones that were dressed up in Indian garb instead of the Indians. It was great. but once that community is there, that lifestyle is there, you'll find that that is a huge attraction force for millennials. Especially college students where maybe we're away from our families, internationals, or whether they're your volunteers. They're away from their home families usually, and to be included and feel like they're part of a family, even like to have them over with your kids or have them babysit, like it's a great opportunity for us to feel really a part of a family. And then use your resources. So be willing to work inter-ministry. Be aware of the other ministries maybe that are going on around you or even the churches. We're on the same team. We have the same vision, same purpose. So utilize those ministries and those partner churches. I have another mentor that she works for AIA, and she's been a great support to me as well. And then we have other students that we had an Indian student that comes to IFI. He just got baptized, but through H2O Church on campus. And so we've really been blessed to have a good partnership with those ministries. So just see what's out there and be willing to, maybe if you're another student is plugged into another ministry, be willing to let them disciple them, or I don't know how that will work for your context, but. There's a couple quotes I think that capture this vision for engaging millennials, but kind of Jerome, I think, mentioned it earlier, you or Gloria, at the end of the day, you want them to be able to go even further than you could on your own. So you're equipping them to be the next generation of people and to do the things that you're maybe not able to do. Our stories are more about showing and less about teaching. What does it look like to pass on a faith that's open and deep and risky? We always want to be asking this of ourselves. How are we modeling a Christ-like lifestyle to the people that are around us? And we'll go through that. And this is one of my, I think, favorite verses about discipleship in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament of all places. Deuteronomy 6:6-7. Make the things I'm commanding you today part of who you are. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you're sitting together in your home and when you're walking together down the road. Make them the last thing you talk about before you go to bed and the first thing you talk about in the morning. I think this is just a beautiful picture of how we live our faith and how we invite people in the journey that we're on with us. It should be a natural and organic thing, not something that's forced or super structured. You want to go on?
So with all the fun stuff, there's also risk and challenges because we live in a fallen world. So there's still the fear of the unknown to overcome. You know, how would you say with that? International sometimes can be afraid of, or you may not know what they may think or do, or some of their plans. Oh, so we had this one young girl, and she used to join us and pray for the ministry for weeks, maybe months even. And one day when she actually showed up, and then she never came back again, and we didn't understand. So one time when I went in and asked her about it, and she's like, well, I like praying about it, but when I actually showed up and saw all the other cultures, I wasn't sure what to do about it. I'm not comfortable anymore. And so she was just afraid of the unknown. She just didn't know. She lived in this little bubble of, it was like almost a Christian town, and she didn't know what to do after she came and met, you know, she liked the idea of it. But when she actually came and saw, she was just afraid. We're still friends, but she hasn't come back since. And then with millennials, submitting to authority can be an issue, and we've encountered that a few times, but it's also how you come to the table with it and, you know, bring God in the picture and to see whether, as much as they want to submit to your authority, they also want to submit to God, and that's what you got to do. And they can come with an entitled attitude or the lack of humility and teachability, because they come from a culture where they've been told great job and you're wonderful and you're excellent just for showing up at school, you know. So sometimes they come with that. And then we have also noticed a lot of our time is spent sorting petty issues in ministry, you know, little conflicts in friendships and stuff like that. And I sometimes wonder, does Pastor Rich ever deal with that? Because these are like, you know, small baby stuff, grow up. So you should be over this in junior high. And then cultural gender boundaries. We try to draw really strict gender boundaries, especially cross-culturally. And that's something that's really hard for